This is Chairman Brad Holton. I'm going to bring the meeting to order. We have a 10:30 agenda item. It's meeting with DSD for general business and to consider action items. Let's take care of the action items first before we go to general business. So the first action item is to consider FCOs for Colby and Amy Brown, case number RZ2025-0003.
Good morning, Commissioners. So I have those FCOs for you.
Okay.
This was a rezone to rural residential again for Colby and Amy Brown. You heard this case on May 7th, and it was denied based on criteria B, C, and D for the rezone. The reasons for denial were largely based on the applicant's unwillingness to restrict secondary residences, and they also didn't have a site plan for a fairly narrow property. I have FCOs here and I can answer any questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I do not have any questions, Mr. Chairman. That is the way I remember it.
For me, in my decision on it was definitely had to do with the burden of proof is upon the applicant. I just didn't have enough information to make a decision like that. So the for me, it was pretty clear on the denial. So thank you for bringing forth the printed FCOs. Do you have any comments?
Mr. Chairman, I move, or do you want to do these together or separately?
Yeah, let's just do them separate.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve and sign the FCOs for Colby and Amy Brown, case number RZ2025-0003.
Okay. I'd second the motion. The motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Aye. I should say aye, so there it carries. All right. Next item is SD2024-0010 Tucker Hill Subdivision.
Thank you. The subdivision came before the Board of County Commissioners. It's a two-lot subdivision. The FCOs are very much the same that you saw from the P&Z. The only change that the board asked for during that item of Tucker Hill is the addition of the testimony that was received that downstream there were some issues with that lateral and that owner getting the user being affected by the existing irrigation system. There was some debate about is that just a civil matter? Is that something they need to work with irrigation district? So at the end, staff took the direction from the board and just added finding four. The bullet point is addressing that there was testimony that we added a condition to just make sure that it's checked before we sign the final plat. And basically all the condition goes into is that during that review that they're just making sure that irrigation system is not the cause to that is impeding that downstream or that other. They're just going to check that it's not going to affect existing water users. And so if there's a civil matter, this is not the reason. We just want to make sure that the system is not the reason that's causing that. So it's just a check. They've already checked it and approved it, but we'll get another letter kind of saying, making sure we have that extra verbiage that it's not part of that issue that's going on.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so that's all I added, and the rest of it's the same that you reviewed at the hearing.
Okay. All right. I think on this one, it's important to note that for me, it's quite a bit of that testimony was, and I asked him on the record, had you given this testimony or presented any of this information to planning and zoning, and they had not. So, all right.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we sign the FCOs for Tucker Hill Subdivision, case number SD2024-0010.
All right, I would second that motion. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, that's the agendized item for actions. And now we'll go into general business.
So, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, as promised, as part of this meeting with the board, we wanted to assemble our comp planning team, bring them before you to our synopsis of priorities and solutions towards updating the comp plan, and we have staff here to lead that presentation. It's a decision point, basically. Is this the way we want to go, or are there other things that you want to address through the comp plan update process and how to go about that? This provides a pretty good scope of work, timeline, as we go forward to get an RFP out there for consultant services to be led, this project to be led. This is really good information to review up front, so we're headed on the same page, and that you agree with the priorities that
okay.
staff presents.
Okay, all right.
So I'll turn time over to staff to start that discussion.
And Diana, can we get the screen? Table two, I think. So thank you, Jay, for setting that up. So so back on the 16th, April 16th, we had a nice meeting, and we kind of brought up some concerns that the board has with the comp plan. As we know, for years we've heard policy questions, just confusion, things like that, and we were able to talk about what was really the issues, and we talked about certain components, things that matter, and we kind of discussed, like, let us bring back to you some priorities that would make sense maybe in this case, and what we see the issues too. As you saw in the memo, these are the ones that we think is priority. We want to see if this works for you too, what you think about it. And with this, we'll come with general updates too. So when we do these priorities, we're going to also focus on updating the data in there, of course, and when we do updates, are we implement too? If we're looking at implementation, the updates are going to come with new information. And then also, this is a great time to change the horizon date on the comp plan and maybe change the name, things like that. We could do some cosmetic stuff. But really, we want to focus on some of the issues we think are a priority and what we've heard from you are your concerns. And we want to just go through them. So we have five that we've found. And they're in the order of the most important to, not as priority, but priority. As you can see, one is the agricultural zoning district. So what our map is showing, what our zoning designations are defined, and then implementation of them. So as you know, this is a huge issue, as well as the agricultural overlay, the mapping of that and what that truly means, and implementation of that. And then, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We're going to go through them. Each planner here is going to go through them. So let me step back. So after that date, we set up a focus group. So our department right now has two focus groups. One's to focus on comp plan and ordinance updates. And you see this group here. You have Emily, Carla, Dane, and myself. Jay and Josh are there to just provide us some back and forth communications between the board and ourselves, just to make sure we're, when we need to pivot, we can pivot, or when we need to stay focused, we can just keep that communication going, but also to provide us some guidance too as where we may need to go and stuff. But we have a great group here. And what we did is, and we could probably show it to you if you're interested, but we went to the whiteboard and just wrote down all the issues we can think of, ones that we see every day, the ones we hear from you, ones we hear from the Planning and Zoning Commission every day. And we wrote them down and made a list. But we came back just to really focus on the comp plan with you, because that is a huge issue that we need to address. So you see the five items on the screen. They're in your memo. And what we're going to do, each planner who kind of worked on those specific topics to bring up, they're going to kind of summarize that for you. But can you go to the next slide? What we need from you today is to kind of help us answer these questions. Are these the right priorities? When you look at the work plan, is there anything we need to add? Is there anything you see that would be beneficial? Public engagement suggestions, and then any questions you might have about consultant services, which ones you think would be beneficial, which ones, we have a lot of stuff in there, but you can tell us where, if we're on the right path or not. And so what we're going to do is going to go through each one, and I think Carla is the one who went through the ag zoning district and intense ag and can give you some details on that. So I'll turn it over to Carla.
Yeah, Yeah, and first off, I apologize, the PowerPoint seems to be moving on its own, so. Give us some grace with that. Anyhow, so the top priority that we found, just based on our conversations with you and others in the community, is this need to really identify and confirm the appropriateness of the agricultural zones in the plan. So that would be the AC5, the AC20, and the AC40. And then identify standards and the criteria to implement those zones into the zoning ordinance. Along with this priority, we intend to reevaluate where the intensive agricultural overlay should be applied, along with applicable standards for that overlay. So as you know, that overlay has been applied broadly throughout large swaths of the county, but in some cases it doesn't really relate to development patterns that have already occurred or existing conditions on the ground. So this is just a basic work plan for this goal, and you can find more details in the memo that we sent you. First, we intend to gather data on existing conditions to better understand where the various agricultural zones and overlays would be most appropriate. We would then bring that data to an advisory committee to help draft the criteria. That recommendation would then be vetted with the larger community, and then we would draft code, text amendments, and map updates to align with the feedback and the data. In between each of these main steps, we intend to come back to the board to ensure that we are on the right track. And then there are areas highlighted in red where we think consultant services would be most beneficial with this step. So yeah, that's our basic work plan. But if you have any suggestions before we move on to the next one or comments, we'd love to hear those.
Mr. Chairman, did the committee discuss whether or not the AC5, 20, and 40 were appropriate?
Yeah, so commissioners, I think that is kind of baked into this question. So do we want those zones? It seems to be in a lot of use cases we're having people ask for those 5 acres. So maybe there are areas of the county where 5-acre agricultural zoning would be appropriate, but figuring out where that belongs and what the implications of that are part of this kind of exploration that we want to do.
Okay, thank you.
Through the chair, again, this is possibly implementing, but as we go through data gathering and we get to committees and stuff like that, we might just do an update. We might just go, this is not working. And we'll, as Carlos said, we'll continue to communicate. If we're just like, this is not the right path, then we do an update. You know, we update that section and relook at those maps and what they're truly called. Is it really AC5? Is it really RR? Is it, we'll have that conversation, but let's gather that data. Let's get some feedback and then see if we're on the right path or not.
Chairman Holt, Commissioner Brooks, I will say I have heard from a couple ag preservation people. They feel like this is not a good idea in general, that it's just going to foster more development, maybe where it shouldn't go.
What is not a good idea?
The AC5, 20, and 40. So to your point, and Dan's spot on, that through public feedback, we may just hear, no, don't do this.
Okay.
So we're keeping all possibilities open. We're not railroading this.
All right.
Point I want to convey.
And I think we talked about it before too, is if it is something we want, where does it go? And so to have a true plan, you have to have it mapped out. You have to understand why that's appropriate there and why it's not appropriate here. So that data collecting, that feedback we're going to get a better understanding if we have this, where should it actually go? Is it just willy-nilly everywhere? Or is it a planned area because this makes sense here? And we just need that information to be able to convey that.
I'd throw one in on the data gathering. It has to be a parcel that is available for water delivery. I think with the criteria that's happening south of the lake, and we have a moratorium on drilling production wells like that, we're kind of foolish to think that there isn't any other areas in the county that are just the same. So I think water availability has to be a criteria of a defining part.
So the question I guess I'll go back to is, do you feel this is number one priority? Out of the list you saw right there, is this number one?
It's definitely the largest angst that we have, whether that represents the entire public or not. I know it's my angst that the broad brush of agriculture on everything is when we end up dealing with specific applications, they aren't ag. They haven't been ag. Some of them haven't ever been ag. And so that broad brush is, for me, working with it, that's disingenuous. So I the only place to start is data gathering to start identifying those.
And then we've highlighted on there the red, that where we think maybe consultant services would be beneficial. Does the board see that being an issue, or do you feel there's more opportunities, or based on the information we've
provided? I think depending upon the consultant, I basically like it better than putting my staff out there in the middle of that and having the public say, well, they're prejudicial towards this or they're prejudicial towards that, to have a independent consultant or professional person be doing that. It kind of gives a separation from us as the people with the big stick.
Makes sense to me.
That was the exact situation I didn't want to put my staff into to lead the charge and write it in-house again, because it has every opportunity to be called out as disingenuous or inappropriate or whatever. Now, granted, we have consultant services lead the charge, and we'll provide staffing at the engagement points and what have you, so that we hear the same message. It's a way to vet and also have additional people in to handle the crowd per se. But that it is important to us to have a consultant on board to really lead us in the right direction and assemble all the information in the end.
One thing that, and I'm wrestling with my words. One thing on the community engagement that's going to be critical for this commissioner is special interest groups who have the opinion that someone else's property has to stay or do something because it's agriculture. Their desire for that dirt, they're not financially involved in it, but they're trying to govern and make decisions for the person who owns it. And I think that it's fair to identify that and be aware of that in the community engagement segment, because I think that's wholly unfair. I don't want somebody else across the county telling Brad Holton what he can do with his residential lot. I don't mind if there's a process for that, but a group shouldn't be able to sway the decision of a land use or a land type because they're very passionate about it, yet they don't own a piece of ground. Now, you see the same thing in land use decisions that we have to make, that their viewshed is now being modified, but they haven't ever taken the time to try to own the dirt that they look at that viewshed over. So It's a problem that exists. We aren't going to solve it here, but I think we need to have our eyes wide open going into it, that we're able to recognize it and deal with it as we go through the process.
Right. And at the end, it is a community plan. We want to hear from the community. With that being said, the idea too is to make it as clear and transparent as possible what the plan is for the community based on the feedback and data and things like that. So there is clarity in the sense of, if somebody wants to do residential in an area that we have clearly shown that this is ag, this is a reason why we called it ag, that we have something to work with. Versus, and so like the great idea is, we do want to give some ideas of where growth should go and not go, because the data behind it and that the community agrees with it and it got adopted that way.
Right.
Again, you're right though. The map right now does lend itself to be kind of just a just a green on a map and not truly understanding that there's some topography issues here, or this is closer to this, to where that would make sense to, as a growth area opposed to this area over here. So the data collecting and getting that feedback will give us a better understanding of where that is appropriate and really where it's not.
Right. No, I don't need a point-to-point map, but there's areas I'll give north of Middleton and a little bit to the east of Middleton. There's the way the topography is, there's flat areas that farm just well, and there's areas that'll never have water delivered to it ever. And yet the broad brush goes across all of that dirt, and you have to go through the whole process. Is it agriculture? Well, no, it's not. Never will be. So there's areas that tend to allow themselves to be developed if we want to without impacting directly the production ground if we do it well. So personally, really tired of the broad brush and wanting to get back down to more defined areas.
All right, if no more on this, we'll move on to the second priority.
Okay.
Chairman Holton, Commissioner Brooks. So second priority is looking at the agritourism and agritourism business overlays. Tied into this is the Sunny Slope specific area plan. And the comprehensive plan details the agritourism overlays in a variety of goals and policies that are related to agritourism and agritourism business use. But the overlay and applicable standards have not yet been adopted into code. And the goal of this section of the comprehensive plan would be to create greater clarity on what we would like to see in these areas, along with specific standards in code that would benefit staff as well as the community. The work plan for this priority is similar to the priority one. So again, we would like to start with some data gathering. This would include key stakeholder outreach to better understand the needs of the agricultural operators in the area. During this, we would also research best practices on establishing specific area plans. Based on the data gathered, we would then bring these concepts to the broader community through an open house and or pop-up events. And then we would draft the code, text, and map amendments for the public hearing process. Again, through this process, we would be doing check-ins with the board to ensure that we're on the right track and being able to pivot when necessary. And I'm available for any questions or comments.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
When a consultant drafts the code, do they have an attorney working on that as well? Or like how does that get vetted for?
Technically, we'd ask the consultant to provide some draft ordinance language to address mitigation measures or what, you know, or code specifics, but all the ordinances would go through our legal staff to ensure that it comports with our code.
Okay. And I'm assuming they've done this.
It ends with us.
Okay. And I'm assuming they've done it before somewhere else, so they've probably got some language that's been run through half a dozen attorneys anyways.
Be a part of our selection criteria, too, for the consultant. Not a local preference, maybe, but if they're familiar with Idaho land use law, it would probably be a bonus to them.
Okay.
Yeah. Are we going to use a point system to try to vet and qualify who?
Yes.
Thank you. Again, trying to choose my words wisely. When I grew up, I'm ancient of days. Sunny Slope was an entirely different area than it is now. And you only have to drive out to the Homedale shooting range, which you go down this road and you go across the bridge and go out in the desert. And there are several signs on really large land use decisions that are in the pike. And so I guess, how much money do we want to spend on an area plan for agricultural tourism on Sunny Slope specific plan area when a recognizable percentage of it is wanting to rip it out of agriculture and put it into development. So here's the question. I don't know the answer. Is this a lot too late? What's the public's appetite? Again, it is the public demanding or choosing a landowner what they will or can do with their ground. And Sunny Slope was most known for fruit, and they're decades behind in most of those fields compared to if you drive across central Washington or something like that and see the current state of the art of orchards. That reinvestment money has not taken place in this area. We're still living in a for the most part, a procedure that was done 50 years ago. So I guess the question begs itself. Great plan, good idea. Is it applicable to what we're living in currently?
Chairman Holton?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks, I would say we need to cast what the vision is, because you're right, it's probably not where, I don't know if it's where that community wants it, but if it's not, what can we do to foster the kind of growth those people out there want? Are there more allowances for things that they have seen be successful? Like if something requires a rezone right now, could we make it a CUP for the Planning Commission? Or could we make something more of an allowed use if it's going to foster the overall vision? Like, do they want that to become an area full of hotels and things like that? Or is that repugnant out there?
Right.
It's those kind of questions. I think we need a very specific vision, and then we contour a code to make that vision happen.
And can I jump on to Josh? So the only two people in this room who were here when the comp plan was made was me and Rob back there. And my understanding, remember, of the community, the reason why it was there, because Sunny Slope is a very special area.
It is.
And we did receive community feedback at the time that they wanted to do something special there. And I went with you guys on that ag tourism trip, and we saw so many ag tourism-like businesses, which right now are illegal. All of them we went to where we kind of like, oh, this is really awesome.
They're not permitted.
We don't have a use permit for this. And so the thing is, we're going, whoa, we really need to think about this area plan. Does it make sense? You're right, though. The reason why it's mapped out the way it is, and we didn't have a specific plan that came with it, is because the people who live out in Sunny Slope and the developers who want to develop Sunny Slope were butting heads. And so there's a want for it, and it's been how many years now since then? Like, and again, gather the data, get some public outreach and see if there's still a need. If there's not, then it's called an update. We update it and get rid of it, or update the code and allow for certain uses. But I have a feeling once we get this out there, there will be a plan. There will be an understanding of just what that will be. We'll find out, kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
But this is one I'm glad Dane and this team put together. This is a good one for just a consultant, we believe.
Right.
Really take the reins on and just we're checking back and making sure at the end the code that comes with it, the plan that comes with it, makes sense, and our legal team looks at it. But this is one where it's going to probably be some back and forth with that community and stakeholders who are interested in doing something with that area and getting that understanding, working with, you know, the scenic byway, other people who have concerns out there. And then a lot of these too, just to step back, you know, the Planning and Zoning Commission are allowed to have subcommittees and ad hoc meetings. This might be an opportune time to get them involved in helping us vet out some stuff too as part of this data gathering and understanding.
I don't want to sink your ship, but this is for the whole county. This is really specific, and I don't know that I'm comfortable with that, because ag tourism, little beautiful downtown Greenleaf, people stop at the cafe because they're following this ag tourism route. They've never seen hops grown. They've never seen mint, whatever it happens to be, right? So the ag tourism is significantly larger than Sunny Slope specific area plan. So I don't know that I'm totally comfortable in saying that I'm, as a commissioner, am willing to spend a boatload of money on ag tourism only looking at Sunny Slope specific area plan. It goes clear north of Parma, really. And so are we zeroed in and focused on, are we advertising, are we trying to catch a specific fish out of the sea that we really need to broaden the net for more area? And some, maybe somehow say that a little bit differently. I'm just asking the question. I don't want to sink your ship, right? You guys have vetted this after you heard us talk earlier. And when I think of Sunny Slope, right, when people think of Sunny Slope, it's a pretty specific area. Unless you're from out of the county and just moved in, then you don't really know what the frick you're talking about. But it is a pretty specific area. And so agriculture, to be fair, and for us to develop these type of businesses, has to be way bigger than just this area. It has to take in consideration a whole boatload more of area.
And so that's the thing. Priority number one is looking at some of those zoning districts and intense ag and things like that. And that might come out with something else that maybe we don't need an ag tourism area. We allow this if you're in this location or whatever. But coming from different jurisdictions too, I found that certain areas have something special to it. Sunny Slope is obviously something special, very scenic, has some existing commercial, agriculturally related uses. I'm not saying that there isn't that everywhere, but this is off a highway, has excellent, you know, transportation through there. It has a, you know, that corridor is where the wine country really connects and stuff. So there was something special, and that's why we got a lot of comments there. I looked at Highway 45 stuff there. I looked at from Wilder to Parma. There's something special there, but this was the one everybody kind of like, this is what we need. Okay. So it could start here and it could expand as we look into it, or it could get smaller depending on the feedback we get. But again, this is one that's in our plans. It has not all the, it doesn't have a lot of specificity to it. And so this is where do we go? Do we implement it or update it?
Okay.
And so this is where we get a lot of people coming in with permits and going, it's in your ag tourism area, so you should allow us to do this residential zone. I'm like, what does that really mean though?
Right.
And it's not implemented. So, you know, so this is one of those ones that we're kind of like, it needs a cleanup. It needs to be clear or reduced or something, you know. So that's why we put it at number two.
Okay. Well, if you're doing mass orchards well, plunking a home right beside a mass orchard is suicidal. I mean, the way you have to spray and the way you have to deal with bugs on a overnight emergency situation does not lend itself well to have a resident in the immediate area. So if you're going to do ag tourism really well and you're going to take advantage of what Sunny Slope is, you're almost precluding any more residentials. You know, and when I started running in 2000, I had a multimillionaire sit me down with 50 pages of his plan, and it was hundreds of acres, and he had already done the engineering on it. And so he was ready to pull a trigger on Sunny Slope ground that the public has no concept of. And so there's people eyeing it for many different things than agriculture. So I would look forward to getting a vision set on it.
Right. And at the end, again, us communicating back and forth as we work on this is the communication. And when you get that information, you can go drop this, like, let's put that on the back boiler right now, or
yeah,
let's pivot now and go to something else. But this is the reason why we want to bring that information, hear what we're hearing and seeing if that's the right path, if it's the right timing, things like that.
Right.
So. Yeah.
There may be, very well may be other areas besides Sunny Slope that are special areas that we need to address that come out of this
yeah.
effort. So.
Well, I definitely think there is. So, yeah.
You could set the table for the next.
Okay. All right. Next. We're losing Dane. Let's move on.
Okay, so in addition to the intensive agriculture and agricultural tourism overlays, there are a variety of other overlays that you've probably seen in the plan.
Yeah.
Some of these have been mapped, and a few have some minimal co-standards, but we think it would be beneficial to determine which of these overlays really warrant integration into the code. And with that understanding, we take the necessary implementation steps. And so for the work plan with this one, it's again fairly similar in line with the other work plans. We intend to start with data gathering, which would include subject matter experts. I think that part would be very important with this one because they are very specific topics. And we would interview with those subject matter experts and then get some best practice research done to gain an understanding of the appropriate overlay boundaries and if any specific unique development standards should apply in those areas, if we don't already have them. Once we have a good understanding of the needs, we intend to host pop-up events with the applicable agency partners, and we would conduct a community survey. With all that feedback, we would then again draft code, text, and map updates to the plan and ordinances, and then confirm the updates with key subject matter experts and bring the proposals through the public hearing process. So before we move on, any thoughts on this goal priority?
No, I look forward to it. Because those areas are there in the comp plan without specificity, and they could be reasonably good tools to have. So
one of the plans that we really want to make sure we integrate into the data comp plan is the county's parks preservation plan. Because now that they have a plan,
yeah,
we need ordinances to help them implement that plan as well.
We do.
I've talked extensively to Nikki, and she's really looking forward to being part of the process. So.
Okay. I would imagine she is.
So the good thing about this, too, just to throw it in there, when we look at these, we can see, again, what's appropriate, what's not, but also look and see if there's anything we're missing that we need. So do we need a gravel pit overlay area to determine where gravel pits really should go instead of just willy-nilly everywhere? Do we need a wildlife urban interface plan? Do we need a slope map and kind of regulate where development goes on slopes? I mean, this is stuff we can really look at and see what overlays we truly need and then implement them through code as part of it.
How many overlay areas do we have right now?
What did you have on your slide?
Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, so these are the ones.
There's six, I think.
No, six, and then in addition, the agricultural tourism overlay, the intensive agricultural, there's probably like nine or so.
Okay.
Again, it'd be nice to have a plan that makes sense and then implement it with a code that goes along with it so you understand
how
we're going to deal with it within those overlay areas. All right, next is area city impact. As we know, the code changed because of a legislation changed that required us to update our maps in 2025. So that happened. So what we really want to do here is, one, update the maps. So that's an easy thing to do. But with it, look at the policies and goals we have in there to make sure what we really want to do with the cities and counties planning-wise, and make sure they're still aligned with that. And then the implementation part would be updating our agreement, whether that be multiple agreements or just one overlay that allows us to, if you're in an area city impact, this is what we're going to do. And so staff believes this is the right time to get with the cities and counties and see what we really want to do with this. Do nothing, do something, but it's something that we have maps for now. What does that mean? You know, and so this is a great time to update the maps, look at the goals and policies, and then implement it with something in our code of how we're going to deal when there's development in an area city impact.
I like it. I see it fraught with danger, but
say it's going to be easy. And
I mean, one of the goals I personally have is that if I'm dealing with a piece of property that's in the area of impact as a county commissioner, there's an agreement at some point in the application process that you're going to be annexed at some point in the future. Looking at all of the ground south of the city of Nampa that is pot hold with County Islands, those people enjoy the services of the city. To ignore and think they're just the county on an island when they've driven on a Nampa City road and use Nampa City policemen for the traffic to get to their little island of the county is disingenuous to the rest of the people. And so, to me, it's very simplistic that if you're dealing in the area of impact, and I would also say if the parcel is immediately adjacent to the area of impact border, you're just exactly on the line. It encompasses you all too. So I got feelings on that because I've been a mayor, which is probably unique from the rest of the people. But the bottom line is for me is treat others like you would want to be treated, and not carve yourself out this exception that places other people in an unfair disadvantage.
And through the chair, reason why staff feels this is a priority too is we just shrunk their area city impact, and we have agreed that in the next 5 years they can get people into that area and annex. So how do we work together on that? How do we talk about that? I mean, they went from a huge area to a very small area after the decision. So how do we work together? How do we want to discuss that? I think that's really missing and what that really means. And so this is the comp plan to the code. It's a process that we really need to vet out with those cities and what that really means and how we want to talk about from here on out.
Yeah. And it goes part and parcel with the AC5 and all that discussion. And also, if we're concerned about preserving ag, people have got to go somewhere. And setting up 5-acre parcels that then the city's in a position to serve that with water and sewer, is that good for their bottom line? And so having that discussion about what's going to meet their future needs as far as budget and things like that, that back and forth probably needs to be had.
So this one, we felt it could be probably mostly done in-house, which is better for the communication. The entities that need to work together.
Okay.
All right. Good morning, commissioners. Good morning. Our fifth priority is the pathway plan and potentially a thoroughfare plan. As Jay touched on earlier, the County Parks Pathways and Cultural Resource Plan was adopted in 2022. There's pathways envisioned around Lake Lowell and around the Boise and Snake Rivers. Not all of the planned pathways are included in our regional long-range transportation plan with Compass, and the pathways have also not been adopted into our comprehensive plan. Formal adoption of the plans would position us for grant funding to adopt these pathways, and it would allow us to adopt ordinances to consider or require pathways with applicable developments in those areas. A thoroughfare plan would consider appropriate land uses along county thoroughfares and policies such as access management. Plan is similar to the rest of them. It would deal with more agency coordination just because of the kind of nature of those types of plans, to understand their existing plans and to seek alignment with their plans with ours. And then stakeholder and public surveys would be utilized to better understand desires and proposals, and also have an open house or pop-up event. And then we would look at drafting code amendments and then touching base with the board throughout that process.
If I can tag on to what Emily said, so some recent examples have come up, I think, related to this. For instance, talking to a property owner, like a greenbelt along the river, they're like, hell no, it's never happening. So if we know we've got that, do we then start routing that multi-use path up from the river, work with the highway district and say, let's get a multi-use path up here and go around? Those types of questions could be vetted out through this process. Also, the thoroughfare plan, are all our highway districts talking to one another? If they need to have a major collector roadway going through, we don't want to block it with a development project. So that all needs to be discussed and mapped out so that we have the tools we need to coach our applicants through, like at a pre-application stage, so they're not running afoul of a highway district plan, if there is one. But
big county, right? Our future roadway needs. I don't know if we have a comprehensive look at that overall.
Compass does, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. One of the Compass maps for another interchange along the interstate between here and Ontario, one of the paths is probably not doable. I mean, there's a whole group of new houses that would have to basically be taken back down for that particular path to be used. So, but Compass and ITD kind of have an idea on that, and we should probably look at that sooner rather than later for the northern end of Canyon County, because with the Valnova project in Ada County, where there's they're in process of building the overpass just south of Firebird Raceway right now. That is going to be a very real thing going straight west to I-84. So one of those roads, I think, is probably a foregone conclusion of not being available.
Yeah.
So we should definitely take a look at the northern end of the county before anything comes in.
Yeah, and down to that more granular collector level is, I think, important too for the work we do. Mm-hmm.
So perhaps it needs to be also an overlay on the, you know, we're in the middle of budget and we don't have two nickels to rub together compared to the requests, and you want to frickin' have me spend money on pathways? I'm just saying, there's this disconnect of reality. Look, I travel. I really like pathways in developed areas, and I look at them completely different than most of the public because I'm in awe of the coordination and the money and the investment and the upkeep that it takes to do really good pathways. And we sit on TVP, Treasure Valley Partnership, and they're rah-rah-rahing, and they've got their pathway from Boise down through Eagle, and they're almost getting it ready and connecting it to Star. And what about Canyon County? Well, just across the border is Century Ranchers, and that's the not in my lifetime is there a pathway going to go through beside the river on my land. So how do you get to there to Middleton, and then how do you get from Middleton through Canyon Hill and get down and go to Notice past the freeway, let alone coordinate with three other public, well, they're not only public, they're federal, on Lake Lowell to do a pathway in a wildlife area. To me, that's like incompatibility on steroids. But anyway, am I against pathways? Not at the 50,000 foot level, but I darn well would like to see us incorporate a map in the comprehensive plan that shows east-west thoroughfares connecting with Ada County that go all the way to the Snake River or the Boise River, however they collide. But we have nada. And to leave it up to Compass and ITD, I'm not comfortable with that. To leave it up to, right now, our highway districts are great people, but the coordination to do a cross-county thing pretty much is going to rest upon the county to do a cross-county thing.
So, Chairman Holden, Commissioner Brooks, where I think this effort has value is, if somebody comes in to develop and it's in our comprehensive plan that a pathway should go there, it can be a required condition of approval. And then we're filling in gaps and we're not paying for the whole shebang, possibly. And that way we're not asking for an Apollo-level budget on this. We're filling in gaps, or there's less to do. And I think that's what you're getting at, is Canyon County can't spend the money to do the whole thing all at once.
Right.
But
to your point about the coordination is a big lift, this would be a focused effort towards that. Like, what's everybody thinking right now between all these groups you've named, our parks department, all that, and then truing that up so it's like, we know this right here is not gonna happen, so we gotta figure out an alternative.
Okay.
So Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Brooks, there's a group out there, advocacy group, been in existence for a whole bunch of years. That is the foundation at Ada Canyon Trails. And their main goal is to advocate for and coordinate with a lot of agencies and developers or whatever to encourage the connection of the Greenbelt from Boise all the way to the confluence of the Boise and Snake. There is a plan for that.
Yeah.
What we need to do is at least incorporate it into our comp plan as the vision for the county to help them and help others to implement that vision. It's
right.
Not on the county to do it.
Right. And I'm supportive of that. It's just like you hear people who don't understand how Lake Lowell operates, and they want a pathway around it. Well, I suppose if you chose to afford to do that, there's probably somehow that you could do that, but it's not like you would think it is in other areas. So let's see where this goes. I'm not against long-term planning and out there, and I see what you're saying on the goal.
Carla, can I go to slide 2, please?
Oh, do you have that one?
Yes, or the slide 2. Thank you. Appreciate it. So what I want to bring back is the 5 priorities we brought to you. This is what staff found when reviewing the after our April 16th meeting, going through the comprehensive plan, discussing the priorities. These are the 5 that we brought in front of you. The question I have for you is that the right priority list? Is that in the order that you see two? And is there something we're missing? Is there a priority that we're missing out of the comp plan that we didn't find maybe or maybe missed? Or did we nail it on the head there and get it right the first time? Would you move one up, one down?
Or a third option, do you need more time to think about it?
Well, I'm very argumentative in my mind. Totally comfortable with 5 staying where it's at, but definitely 1 is our biggest heartache, but I hadn't thought about what Dan was saying. We may open up a can of worms that we need to close it for the time being and go back and reorganize of how we're going to address it and talk to it. Here's the fact of the matter. Areas of impact. The assessor was just in this room and he showed graphically on valuation close to 97% of all the new development is in the municipalities. So if we're really going to be honest to ourselves when it comes to comp plan and it comes to growth that's physically happening, it's going to be in the areas of impact or close to it, because they're growing so dadgum fast. Maybe that'll stop tomorrow morning. I don't know, but I'm seeing that as number 4 and thinking, are we closing our eyes to reality when it's a lot higher potential to cause us heartache that we aren't coordinating with the municipality? So I would look at 4 and say, I don't have the factual basis to say that it needs to be number 2, but I'm saying it probably needs to be above number 4. I love the idea about the additional overlay zones, and I don't know if we need more data to know about the tourism to be able to deal with the overlay zones. I don't know which one's in front of which one on that one. But agriculture is important, and we need to flesh it out and see where we're at. But what do you say?
I'm good with the order, at least for now.
Okay.
And then the second question is, the work plan that we showed you, does that look fine? Is those are ones we want us to work towards and see, get some more information, you know, finances, you know, the how much is that going to cost, the timing, the timing one more time because of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then did you, in there we provided areas of public engagement. Is there any suggestions, anything else when you look through that, any particular group or particular stakeholder you want us to make sure we include, or anything popping out?
Not on my first pass.
And then we're going to be communicating, when we start working on this, we're going to communicate back and forth.
Right.
You let us know at that point too, like, hey, add this or.
Right. Okay. We can do that.
When we consider putting that advisory committee together, I expect to be very careful about that as well.
Right.
That list of potential folks we'll bring back to you and embed it through you as well.
Okay.
Make sure that we have the right people in place to really provide the advice. If it's too big, no decision will come out of it.
Right.
Too small, it's very apt to be very too focused.
Yeah.
I want to get the number right. I want to get the folks, the right folks on the bus.
Right. Okay. Agreed. So it's one against one, so leave it.
Again, we're going to have communication back and forth. We're going to hear, like, if something, we need to pivot on something or we need to reconsider something, then we can move the priorities around at that point.
Sure.
It gives us something to work towards.
Yeah.
I think our first priority is to get consultant on board so that then we can also lean on their assistance to, they may look at this and go, okay, these two kind of go together. We can hit those in one fell swoop.
Right. They might have the experience to see it.
Going down this.
Hopefully they have an opinion.
Yeah.
That's what we'd be paying them for.
Yeah, what we'd be paying them for. One of the maps that I would like to be available on your website is that map that shows the acreages. I mean, you're going to have a computer that I don't know if the mobile device will get down into the GIS map to do that, but I think the public is going to be blown away at how many parcels there are that are 40 and less. And how few parcels that are 80 acres and bigger left in Canyon County. And I think the public needs to find out what the reality is, what we're dealing with. So if we can do that in some form or manner, that we can put that map available, that they can open it up and peruse through it and zoom in on it, zoom out, that would be a good tool.
We can hear that.
Okay. Anything else? That's a lot.
That is all we wanted to cover. We promised we'd keep it to inside an hour, and we've done that. So.
We've done it. All righty. Sounds good. Is it okay if we adjourn?
Yep.
All right. Let's consider ourselves adjourned then. Thank you.
Thank you.